Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Xbox has taken Australia by storm.
Hundreds of computer junkies stormed Meyer Grace Brothers to snap up the high-tech toy.
Great morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you very much for joining us. My name is Tommy Dasilo, and of course, joining me as always,
Ben Vanel here, catchphrase, and you son of a bitch, I was planning, this is the one time, you always say that I plan my little intros, I never do, I frantically think of them in the 5 minutes to 30 seconds before we start the podcast. This time, I had planned to say, don't have a good podcast, have a great podcast.
Okay.
And this
okay.
little cunny.
You still can.
Just trampled all over it. But a man who is a mystery when it comes to introductions, I never know what he's going to say, but I don't have
a good introduction.
It responds to something that I've said or Tommy said.
I have a great introduction.
There we
from
go.
From the movie. We all said that thing from the movie Free Guy, which sucks.
I don't like Free Guy. I don't like Free Guy. I love it. Is that the same phrase? Is that the same catchphrase?
Yeah. I don't like Free Guy.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Well, we're going to talk about the movie in a minute. If you watched it in order to hear us talk about it on this episode and you didn't enjoy it, something that you'll be able to watch and hopefully enjoy a lot more is our live Zoom show.
Yes.
Happening very soon, Sunday, October the 17th, 2 p.m. Australian Eastern Daylight Savings Time. You can get a ticket right now on our website, and it's going to be all about parties in video games, and we've got a lot of fun stuff planned, so check it out. You will be able to watch it for a limited time after the fact if that time does not work for you to watch it live, but quite a few of you bought tickets already. They're selling fast, so get on it and come and hang out with us. It's going to be a lot of fun. First time we've done something like this, an online show, and looking forward to it.
It's not literally on Zoom as well, so like you won't need to have Zoom downloaded or anything, and we won't be able to see you, I'm pretty sure. We said to dress up last week, but like
that's right.
There won't be cameras on you. Like
No. But we can have a hashtag, you know, I can have Instagram open, we can be taking screenshots, popping them up on the screen.
We'll interact, but I think the platform will be YouTube, right?
Yeah, I think that's the plan. We'll be streaming it through YouTube through like a link that we'll send you probably in the, you know, day or a couple of days leading up to the show.
Yeah, link.
That's right. And again, we will be letting you know when we're doing it. If it's going to spam, you know, we'll make sure we're saying on the socials, hey, you know, check your junk folder. I'm super excited. We got some fun ideas. Got some things we can do. Someone pitched, and I don't know. It might be possible. It might be hard to do technically, but someone pitched the Mario Kart drinking game that I think we've talked about once a year for 6 years and never done. But we'll be doing stuff like that. Some kind of silly things to entertain and to interact with the filth.
Yeah, dress up, send us stuff as the show's going, tag us, because having done a few Zoom live shows, it'd be nice to have a bit of a change of pace from the usual Zoom show social media engagement, which generally tends to be a photo of the laptop screen with the show happening and then in the foreground a beer and then just an absolute dog shit looking takeaway pizza with the text. Doing Saturday right with the Filthy Casuals boys. So anything that kind of shakes up that established formula of posting about watching a Zoom show on social media, I'm all for.
Get a dog shit burger, dog shit Chinese. There's lots of takeaway options that you could have to do Saturday night right. Yeah, so
there's lots of dog shit takeaway out there that needs our support in lockdown so that they can have the chance to go out of business naturally when things are reopened because of having a bad product, not because of the pandemic.
I'm really looking forward to it. Yeah, parties and having a party with the filth. You said all the stuff. Filthycasuals.com.au.
Oh, what am I going to eat? That's made me wonder what I'm going to eat. If we should eat during the show, if we should have party food. Fuck. There's so many things to do. Yeah, party pies.
Some party pies.
Fairy bread, which is not something that Americans know what is.
Yeah. It's sugar on bread, so it's weird that they don't. But it's a classic Australian staple party thing. Maybe some streamers and balloons.
Yep. Oh my god!
We're gonna have a
party. Do Americans
with
party pies?
And you've got to pay to get in.
Do Americans have party pies? What are they? Nah. What would they be called?
They don't
over
have
there?
Meat pies.
Yeah. Exactly. A party pie. This is gonna be fun. Large pizza. Over there.
Yes, true.
True.
A deep dish.
True. Yeah.
Fuck this. We may not even need to talk about video games. There's so many party things to talk about. But
we just eat food on camera for an hour.
Close to the microphone, and genuinely we could charge a lot more.
But if you I don't know. I was going to say, but if you don't want to watch that, and what I mean is, in addition to watching that, you can also watch our YouTube videos. We've been doing a bunch lately. Our Sims series is ongoing. I've been reading the comments, and people are commenting like they're scientists, like studying three chimpanzees learning how to use tools, and like they're being very nice and kind, you know, with their guidance. But you can tell that they think we're absolute fools.
Right.
It's weird. Because on the Sims one, they're being very nice. But like, we know we're fucking around.
We realize
it's stupid to build a house like this.
Any game, there's already countless videos of people playing it properly and doing a good job in silence. We're trying to do something different. We're trying to do it badly and loudly.
It's a unique take on the medium.
Lots of comments on our Human Fall Flat playthrough as well. Incredibly frustrating, but people found it very, very funny. It's a bit of a longer one as well, so if you want to settle down and watch an hour of us try to climb stuff and fail, that's a sick one. YouTube.com/filthycasuals and filthycasuals.com.au for all the other stuff.
And a new one this week is Adam playing through attempting to do a speed run of Metroid 1.
Yes.
And I've set to a timer.
25 minutes of Metroid in my life, and it's been the first 5 minutes five different times. So it was difficult to do. But that's all other stuff. People are here for what's happening now.
That's right. That's right.
Shut the fuck up about it.
I'll tell you what people might have been watching on YouTube recently. Did you guys end up doing this? I know you, Adam, were going to stay up until 1 a.m. to watch our old friend, Mr. Sakurai.
Yep.
Go live on YouTube and reveal the final Smash Brothers fighter for the Fighters Pack number 2 or whatever it's called.
I did, and I saw what it was, and it was like a 40-minute video, and I got through the first five, and I was like, yeah, that's enough for me. 1 at 5 a.m. is plenty.
Once you've seen that little cinematic that always very cool, like the little CGI thing where they kind of try and misdirect you and it's a bit of a surprise who the character's going to be. Once you've seen that, you don't need to see the entire moveset played out very slowly.
It was nice the way they did that, where it was like a weird wrap-up of the entire marketing cycle of this game, where like the first trailer was the Splatoon squid kid looking up into that flame, and then that went out and... Like, I really liked how it was sort of sweet just wrapping the whole thing up like that and having this sense of finality to it, because it is the last bit of DLC. For those of you who didn't see it, Sora from Kingdom Hearts, which is one of the worst games ever made, and the character sucks, but people like him.
Yeah.
But from day one, people have always, anytime, even before they started doing the DLC, when they were announcing new characters, it was always rumored. It was one that people really wanted for some weird reason. So, I personally couldn't care one way or the other about him being in it. But it is, you know, given how much people were clamoring for this to be a character in the game, it is a nice little kind of sign off of the, additional content for this game to finally have him in there.
And kind of Smash Brothers as a whole. That's the other thing, is that this was, they were saying the whole time leading up to it, I'm pretty sure, like, this will be the last thing we do with it. This is Ultimate and we mean it. This is the final thing. And then this is the last bit of the last DLC for the game. So you'd imagine that Nintendo is done with this game for, well, with this series for some time.
Yeah, I did also tune in for this. I missed the first 10 minutes, so I missed the cool stuff.
Well, I can tell you that bit, and then you can tell the rest of it.
Just every single possible aspect about what a character can do in Smash shown in great detail and length.
At 1:20 in the morning, our time as well. Worth.
But it's another thing.
Keyblade. You know, you can swing that at people, and if they get hit with that large object that he's swinging, that causes damage to them.
Yeah, and he has a counter, and he has a really overpowered recovery move of basically flying. But also, yeah, I didn't really twig to this being like potentially the last thing of Smash Brothers we ever see until, yeah, like the next day when I was reading a bit more about it. But they run through all the characters. They ran through every single character as they were showing off Sora's moves and counters and things. Like, every bit of gameplay had a different character, and so they ran through, you know, 89 characters.
Right, cool.
Through all of that, which was cool. But then, yeah, now that you sort of put a more finer point on it, it didn't feel like a genuinely momentous farewell to a franchise.
In that first few minutes, it more did than maybe the ending sounds like it did, because that cutscene that they produced, like he said... God, what's his name again?
Sakurai
said, like, hey, this is the big announcement for the end of this game, and it's DLC for a game that came out 2 years ago or whatever, 3 years ago, so we don't have a huge budget. And he was, so that's why it's just always been me sitting in front of this wall. Sorry about that. I do have enough money for two televisions, but
I'm
just here doing this. But they showed that well-produced little cutscene. That was the thing that sort of made it feel like a full circle kind of thing.
In a
pleasant and an unnecessary way that did.
They've
always felt a little bit extra mile, those the people making Smash Brothers.
Yeah.
And they did say as well with Sora, because you mentioned his popularity, Tommy. Like, specifically, they had a poll before the Wii U version of the game came out, saying, "What characters would you like to see in these games?" And Sora was the top one, apparently. They never revealed the results because, obviously, you know, people were like, Doom Guy, which was the other little costume you could get in this.
Yep.
They can't really publish that because then it causes... He was like, it would cause headaches for us and for the people who make those games. We can't say that, like, they want Bruce Willis in the game and whatever was at the top. I assume those were the top three.
Right.
But so, yes, Sora was literally the most wanted character when they did that.
Wow. Cool.
Wow.
Yeah, it is interesting to think about, like, yeah, I mean, this is it now for Smash on the Switch. It, already a very, very complete product when it came out. It had so many characters and stages in it. You know, yeah, every character that's ever been in the franchise, and given how many more they added since. It's crazy to think about, like, well, presumably the next Nintendo console that comes out, there'll be an expectation that there'll be a new Smash Brothers on it. And what do you do? What do you do from here? Like, what can you possibly add?
I mean,
like, they probably the next like 8 years are going to be just working on getting the rights to like Doom Guy and, you know, some of the crazier ones that people, and then finally put in Waluigi and the Doom Guy, and then that's it.
Yeah,
like,
here's Michael Cera. I can only think of actors, not characters. They're real human beings.
Felix the Cat.
There you go. Felix the Cat. Betty Boop is in it. We've got
Donald Duck.
Yeah.
Maybe they would start putting in, you know, Disney stuff from Kingdom Hearts.
I mean, yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
that is the big bummer about Sora that makes him very disinteresting to me as a character. If he was like the Pokemon trainer character where he could bring out like Goofy and Mickey and Donald and stuff, then like fucking awesome. But it just being another anime dude with a sword, it's like...
He's a different level for a lot of people though of anime dude with a sword.
Right.
Like, I do get that there's...
It's more like Cloud or something from Final Fantasy VII, right? Like Kingdom Hearts, I think we do underestimate how huge it is. And huge in Japan. Because Waluigi is the character that I think people in the West had been asking for. And I kept seeing, you know, in, I guess, you know, the English language chats on the side of YouTube and comment sections and shit. But clearly, Sora and Kingdom Hearts is absolutely massive in Japan.
Yeah. And with Waluigi, I think people are just asking to be funny. Like, they're asked, they want him in there because it's a meme. They don't genuinely think he'd have great moves and be a fun character to play. It's just like, it's just funny at this point that so many characters are in there and he's been deliberately left aside.
The fact that it was a character who people are satisfied with really surprised me as well. Like the general right. sense I've gotten is that people are like, okay, cool from this. And there was so much pressure on them just before it to not have it be, you know, Roy or whatever. Just one of those. Mm-hmm. There's been a few characters that come along and they're like, who's this fucking idiot from Xenoblade Chronicles? Get out.
Yeah, the last few. That's I didn't stay up to watch this because, the last few I've kind of realized, like, they've gone beyond the point of the any characters that I'm interested in and Steve. Have any kind of connection to.
Steve's the one, right?
Yeah, totally. That was the real turning point. The characters that I'm always most interested in having in these games are the like weird, obscure older Nintendo characters. Like when they put the Duck Hunt dog in, I thought that was really cool because it's anything that kind of really pulls from, you know, the deep, deep cuts of this company. That's the stuff I'm most into. I don't really care too much about having another RPG character in there or a
guess part of the reason that this deal happened is that they're now putting out the Kingdom Hearts games on the Switch as cloud games. They're
right.
All
yes.
cloud games, even though
Final Fantasy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Clouds in them.
Yeah.
And they've upped the amount of time screen time he gets.
All right.
But anyway, let me put it a different way then.
Okay.
They're all like okay, so you know how like the internet goes up into the air and swirls around and then comes back down to you. That's Wi-Fi, right? Like it goes up and swirls around up there like a squall of wind. They're squall games, we'll call them.
Yeah. Tommy hasn't played Final Fantasy VIII.
Right, that's the character from VIII. And then the amount of effort I put into that.
I know.
I cook you this whole meal, and then you come around here and you go, oh, by the way, I'm allergic
Keep going.
To tomatoes.
When's the thing you're going to say that sounds like something else?
By
Keep
the way,
going, I'm waiting.
I'm too stupid to recognize tomatoes.
What's this? This isn't food. Yes, it is. It's just a type of food you've not eaten before.
Yeah,
but like,
and why don't you appreciate
it? Recognize food. Well, anyway, they're all, which is kind of weird. That means they're not coming out over here, and a bunch of them are PS2 games and stuff. So,
right,
the fact that it's quite lazy, and people are unhappy about that, but that's also happening.
Right.
The other thing, that seems to be happening, but we're not sure about yet. But it's getting more and more certain. It seems like. Is that Rockstar is putting out that Grand Theft Auto trilogy. There was something else today saying that, like, God, I can't even remember what the justification was, but there was another thing where they were like, this is happening and it means it's real. There was, like, it got rated in Korea was one of the bits and bits
Yep.
But there was, like, a listing on Rockstar's website or something for a bit of it that seemed like it would be... They made space on their launcher. Might be Anyway, it seems like those games are coming. Do you want to play those PS2 Grand Theft Auto games?
I kind of do. Yeah. I never did. So I'd be interested. I think we said when we talked about this before that the fact that it's listed as coming out on everything at the moment, including the Switch, makes it seem like it's probably not going to be a real spit and polish to the level of like a Dark Souls remake or a, you know, there's been some fantastic, feel like the bar in the last maybe couple of years has been really raised for that. You know, there is like a new class of remake that is a complete ground up reworking
so
that this probably won't be.
That's the thing that made me think of this is talking about the cloud stuff on the Switch is that it's possible that this is because for some reason, and again, it would be helpful if I had the article in front of me that made me think this, but you know what?
I do. I've got an article here.
So does it mention the thing of how, for some reason, they're expected to be in the Unreal Engine? There's something that indicates that somewhere.
No, but...
jump on Google, folks.
this has come from code in the launcher. So, like, people have actually discovered code relating to the three PS2 games. Perhaps the code has reference to that.
Maybe it's something to do with the Unreal Engine in that code as well. Like, yeah. Either way, it could
be
the
Unreal
fact
Engine
that those...
is the one that was designed by Paul Jennings, yeah?
Did he have a book called Unreal? I'm having a real squall moment over here. I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
It is that launcher code, Nox. It literally says Unreal a bunch of times, a bunch of pieces of code and string values and shit. So yes, it has all come from this bit of digging that people have done.
I guess if it got rated for the Switch in Korea, which is maybe why they think it's going to be on the Switch, it could be that they are cloud versions of games that wouldn't run natively on a Switch.
Right, which means
Point that I tried to get there, but I jumped out halfway through and got in another car and did a couple taxi missions and then went over to the point eventually. But the level of appealing this is to me massively changes depending on if they're just basically ports or like higher resolution versions that already exists on like the PS4.
Yep. Yes, exactly. Yep. Yeah. This is how I bought, GTA San Andreas for $5. In the past couple of years, and I played it, and it doesn't really hold up that great. It was great at the time, and maybe if I had never played it, I would still get a lot out of it. Great voice cast in San Andreas and a bunch of the other games too, but I will be excited for it if it is a remaster.
If they're doing stuff, even if a lot of people seem to be of the opinion that, if the music isn't all the same as it was in the original games, they're out. And it's obviously that's a big question mark over licensing, things like that, and the fact that some of the re-releases of Grand Theft Auto games have had to cut songs out. But even if it's a different 80s soundtrack for Vice City,
that's all up in the air of how much effort they've put in. If they've reworked the visuals to a certain extent, then you would have to assume that, they've commissioned new soundtrack stuff and, maybe, replace the gaps with, some new stuff. So it is like a completely fresh
could be cool thing. And would, if they wanted to release that alongside of the Grand Theft Auto 5 ports over to the PS5 at least, it would make a lot of sense as to why they had to delay that port of Grand Theft Auto 5 to the PS5, that... Yep. is the only reason I could think of that they would need more time to work on a game that has existed for nearly a decade.
Yeah.
Yeah, it could be a thing where it's these ports are running in basically the same engine that they use for 5 so that, with Hitman, you could go back and with Hitman 3, you could download 1 and 2 so they all launch from the same menu. So maybe it's something like that where when that launches, it's like a little tack-on thing that then it's all there in the same little thing. That would make sense.
One way we could have found out is if all of Rockstar's information leaked onto the internet. That would be one way to find out really, really,
super easy,
really confidential information.
Yes.
As if everything about a company leaked onto the internet. But luckily, with big companies at least, the amount of security they would have to prevent that must be huge. Destroyed if it happens. So
totally, a company that is like, it's not just a games developer or a publisher or something like that. It's a marketplace. It has a shop front. It pays people. It has advertising. That's the exact kind of situation where you have top shelf security.
They've got the Rockstar Social Club, which means that they have content creators working for them, and it means that they have people's paychecks. That if the information about those paychecks got out, everyone would surely be furious. YouTube moving is the on, platform we'll be using for our live show. Okay, all of Twitch leaked.
Yeah, every single aspect of it. 120 gig, which doesn't sound much, but that is text files. That is code. 120 gig of code is like a fucking lot of information, that information includes, from what I've read, at least the top 10,000 earners on Twitch. It probably is more, but I'm seeing stuff that's been collated and shit and reported on, it seems like it's everything. Payment information, the encrypted versions of passwords.
Necessarily plain text passwords yet, but changing your passwords if you haven't heard about this and you've got a Twitch account. Yeah. And then go in and change
them. Ben, can you... You go.
I was just saying I had to go and change it, but no, I didn't. All my passwords are safe. Never mind, actually. That's what I was saying. I was saying all my passwords are completely different and they're all safe.
Yeah.
Ben, can you have a quick look on in this document and find out what Adam Knox, real and official, is pulling in per month?
I'll tell you how much. I only just got verified to earn money like the last stream I did, and then I haven't streamed since because we've been in lockdown and I've been too fucking depressed.
Yeah, okay.
There you go. So all right. That's the real the real galaxy brain leak is the one that you just make happen direct from the person themselves.
Yeah.
You don't even have to
this isn't a
hack
leak.
Into a computer.
This is a stream.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, which is what they do on Twitch.
Whoa.
How about that? Who'd have thought that less content coming out would be more But, yeah, it's really fucking bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to quickly... Because I've been reading about this morning and I can't remember what the purpose of the hack was.
So someone put it all on 4chan was the thing.
Right.
Which it's a shame that that site has to get sullied with something bad happening there. That's a real...
I know.
What an awful thing to happen to the fine people over there. But it was... I think it goes along with... So there was a bunch of people mad at Twitch recently for a variety of reasons, I think partly include... So... there was a hashtag that was like about getting Twitch to make marginalized streamers safer, basically.
Yes. Yes.
And there was like a blackout day where people weren't going on it or watching anything on it or streaming anything on it, da da da. And they used that hashtag when they posted the thing on 4chan. So it could be like a protest thing.
Right. Right. Here we go.
Fit. Those two things seem different to me, you know, but yeah.
I've got a screenshot. They call it an extremely poggers leak, which is great. but they basically label Twitch's community as a disgusting, toxic cesspool. They're doing the leak so as to foster more disruption and competition in the online video streaming space. They want Twitch
to
get
watch the world
ruined.
Burn.
Well, and they want a different, you know, they want, what was it called, Mixer? They want another alternative to Twitch, which is good. Having competition drives, you know, one-upmanship and excellence and innovation. Obviously, yep. Hacking is bad and 4chan is bad. and the word poggers is bad because it makes me feel old. But, yeah, that's the reason. I don't know.
I mean, people
dumb.
Just do this shit to do it as well sometimes. People yeah, love right. This is what the yeah. A bunch of people on the internet love to do. But yeah, bunch of information went out about Twitch. We obviously, I don't think it is right to now repeat what that information is specifically from us. And I see a bunch of articles like sharing these tweets that are screenshots of what people earn and all that stuff. And it's like, if you're writing an article about how it's bad that this stuff got leaked, fuck are you doing putting the things in there?
Yeah.
Right.
Man, it is so bad that someone took this photo of Adam Knox naked without his permission. But here it is. Yeah. And you can Google that and you'll find... No, I don't think...
Yeah.
I just wanted to use me so that it wouldn't be gross.
Yeah, and of course, like the grotty, like journalistic excuse for that is that you know, it's public, it's out there publicly. Yeah. People can find it if they want anyway. So once it's out there, like what's the issue with us just reporting on a thing that happened? But
yeah, I don't think that's right.
Yeah, it's incredibly private information that shouldn't have been. Yeah, that shouldn't be out there, and it's not like. You know, we talked about the like Nintendo data leaks a little while ago, and how that was kind of as you know, because there were a lot of like prototype stuff that got out, and some sprites in games that never made it into the final build, and you know that kind of was the same argument of like, hey, this stuff's meant to be private, and we shouldn't all be looking at it. But at least there's like kind of that's about creative things that are decades old, where it's just kind of interesting to see stuff that was left on the cutting room floor.
A big difference, but this is just between like stuff that wasn't in Pokemon Yellow.
Yeah,
totally.
This is people's earnings. It's like it's none of our business. Like
Twitch personalities, YouTubers are frequently targeted, you know, by hackers and trolls and people trying to dox them. So having any of their personal information made public is, so, like, people are, like, calling this, you know, the hack of the century, or, like, this is, you know, top, like, info security, the worst thing that they've ever seen. 51 million users, payment and personal information being put public. Like, how mm-hmm. the fuck does that happen? How can you be Twitch? Like, no red flags, no alarms, no one, it just made it all the way through. It's kind of crazy.
It's nuts, and it's Amazon as well. Amazon owns Twitch, right. Which is, one of the biggest companies in the world. Like, and it's all, it's an online company. It is really weird that this place specifically had it happen to them. And maybe it's just impossible to ever protect yourself fully. Maybe hacking is just always possible. I don't know enough about it. I didn't do the hack, if that's what you're accusing me of.
Sony got hacked. Nintendo got hacked. You know, now Amazon/Twitch. Yeah, it's no one's safe.
That's
bury
nuts.
All your money in a plastic tub in your backyard.
Uh-huh. Hackers can't dig.
That's right.
It is it does seem like hacking is incredibly easy to do. And that's something that I learned from watching a documentary last night called Free Guy. a film that makes... I love hacking in movies is just the greatest shit of all time. It really is just made to look like you open up a program, you type a sentence in, and then, brother, you've hacked an entire game.
Please let
it's
me in.
It's just that easy.
Enter. I'm in. We watched Free Guy, all three of us. We originally had a guest here, but they unfortunately hope they're all right, had to go and do something else. Yep.
Our guest, a 30-year-old who injured themselves skateboarding last night, and now be in the show.
Classic.
So,
but also, I hope you are
any comedian that we know, and you might.
Be right. I watched this last night. Did you end up watching it today, Knox? You said you wanted to do that. Yeah,
I got up bright and early, and I came out and I greeted the birds and I greeted the sunrise and I switched on Free Guy. Got my Thursday morning started right. Shitty pizza on my lap and a big shitty movie on the TV.
Yes.
I did think this was an interesting way of consuming the film where we were meant to be doing this at 10 a.m. and you said you were going to get up and watch it before, cram it into the start of the day before we started recording. Now, let's go around the horn and get this out of the way early.
Okay.
I didn't mind this film. Watched it last night. Had a couple of beers. Would not have watched it were it not for the pod. Would not watch it again. Don't think it's objectively a good movie, but I had fun watching it. Had I had to set an alarm in order to watch this and be doing it at the expense of sleep, I would have fucking hated
it.
But
it's at the expense of free time the other way around. Like, if I was doing this in place of something I wanted to do at night, that would be worse for me. Getting up in the morning and going to work, I love it.
Weirdly, I'm in between because I did watch it last night at about
1 p.m.
No, I watched it last night and did kind of feel like it was a chore. Like, I didn't end up watching anything afterwards, and my whole evening was devoted to Free Guy. But I didn't hate it. I do think that I'm happier that I sat down with some, you know, fish curry at 7 p.m. and, you know, had a bit of a movie night.
I sat down with Tim Curry and watched Muppets Treasure Island the other day.
Oh, how's he doing?
Not
is
as good as I remember from being a kid, you can't go home again. But, that does. Being relaxed and watching a movie sounds like a good time to me.
I was kind of relaxed, but I was also watching it with my girlfriend and just in the back of my head was like, God, I am going to have to watch a lot of fucking Sisterhood with the Traveling Pants or whatever to make up for this. I am deeply in the red after...
That was the other thing. Mobbing with this movie. My girlfriend is staying here with COVID and stuff, and because we both have COVID and we're trying to give it to each other back and forth.
You want to constantly have
strain,
COVID.
But no, neither of us have COVID, by the way. But also, I earned $7.5 million from Twitch last year. So just getting all my information out there. Yeah.
4 inches.
No. Knowing
girth of a hot dog.
I did say to my girlfriend, do you want to watch this? I have to watch this movie. Do you want to watch it? And they were like, I'll watch it with you, but I will tell you what I think of it during.
Right.
So I knew I needed to watch it alone. And the best time to do that was 7 a.m.
Yep.
My girlfriend had been sick all day and then finally like made it onto the couch just as I was starting to watch this. I'm like, oh, I mean, are you sure you wouldn't be a bit happier just like still in bed? Because it's, I mean, it's going to be pretty shit stuff going on out here on the TV.
Yeah, boys. didn't have to worry about any of that. Been single all through this lockdown.
I watched it twice. Yes,
another
didn't hear a beep. Nothing.
I didn't have anything another else to do to fill the lonely hours.
Another thing that may have contributed to me not hating it as much as I could have is that halfway through, I got a call from my parents who I had given my Amazon Prime login to so that they can watch the reboot of Packed to the Rafters, their favorite show. Yeah, I know. And I had to then coach them over the phone on how to log into Amazon, how to make it go full screen, how to find Packed to the Rafters on there, because it's not called Packed to the Rafters. It's now called Back to the Rafters.
Oh, God.
And so by the time I got off this phone call, I was like, honestly, it is a relief to be going back to this shitty movie.
Okay, so, I typed it in, but it says that Moist Critical earned over $2 million. What does that mean? I can't... I definitely, like, I would never have watched this if it weren't for the podcast. It's a video game movie, if you don't know what we're talking about, by the way. Free Guy is a video game movie. It is like The Matrix or The Truman Show, but about an NPC in a video game. Mm-hmm. And it came out recently on streaming services over here. It's been out in theaters for a while in other parts of the world. And yeah, we've done a bunch of movies on here before, like Mortal Kombat and Sonic and stuff.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's a weirdly Rampage. Like broad action comedy movie that is about a very, I mean, video games are they're a big industry, but it's like this is kind of there's just like a lot of niche terminology and like, I mean, a movie where you're constantly banding around the term NPC like frequently.
Right. I don't think, yes, it's kind of a niche term, but also they get around it by having someone who would never say non-playable character in its full phrase,
right,
say that very early in the movie to establish it to the audience. So they get around it ham-fistedly, so don't worry about that problem.
It's well and truly a Ryan Reynolds vehicle. He executive produces it as well as stars in it. It's directed by Sean Levy, who has done a bunch of pretty average stuff. He directed Real Steel. He directed Night at the Museum. Internship.
Funny. The movie Real Steel. The fact that at no point someone said, "Should we have this be the real name?" Is that?
I know.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know what's funny? I read that from Real Steel and him working with Hugh Jackman on that. Hugh Jackman is who put him in touch with Ryan Reynolds to get this film off the ground. And also, Hugh Jackman is in this film, I found out.
Yeah, he is.
What? He's like a masked person in an alleyway or something.
At the start of the movie, I didn't twig at the time, but afterwards I found out he is one of the heroes, one of the playable characters.
Like a bank robber or like literally one who just kind of walks past in an alleyway?
I think there's a little confrontation in an alleyway at some point. Okay.
With Molotov, whatever.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
That's sure.
As is, Dwayne Johnson is also in it.
Yeah, he's one of the bank robbers. Dwayne Johnson.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, so we should say as well, we'll spoil this entire movie. So if you want to watch now would be a good time to pause and go and do that. And then come back to
and
this
I would,
after you have seen it.
I would say, for curiosity's sake, watch it. If you've got the streaming service that it's on, watch it. Don't go to the cinema to watch it necessarily. If you can rent it for $5 on iTunes and you have nothing else to do, give it a crack.
If you like these sort of movies generally, you'll like
it.
Personally, as a quick review to people who are considering watching it, I would say that life is too short. And you won't be happy. I really thought it was a movie that made me question whether or not I'm just cynical or if it was as bad as it is, because it is. It really sucked the the rest of the joy that I had for the day out of me. And now I'm just trying to cope.
Okay.
Yeah, that is, I mean, that is a very cynical view.
I mean, I am pumping that.
What's your one sentence review, Tommy? Because I want to get right into it and explore exactly why we feel these ways.
Fine and fun. Like, for a dumb, broad movie like this, I thought it was at least pretty creative. Like, there's a lot of the story beats are pretty formulaic and you can tell exactly what's going to happen. But the whole, the setting, and so we should say, like, yeah, Ryan Reynolds is an NPC in this video game. I kind of assumed going in that the whole movie would just be set in the video game, but it's not. We jump out into the real world and the tech company that makes this game and runs this game and people who worked on a prototype that was bought by the company that then absorbed into the game. I thought all that stuff was really cool and I wasn't expecting it to go into the real world and hop back and forth. I thought that stuff was all, I don't know. I would never watch it again. I don't think it's like a great movie, but I enjoyed it more than I was expecting to.
All right. I think that's cool. Actually, I don't know if I said my opinion. It's fine. It's a kids movie that has swearing in it. And if your kids like video games and they can listen to people say fuck, get them to watch it.
I will say, you know what? I think this movie was kind of made in the wrong era. I think if this had have been made in like the mid-90s, it would just be like so vibey and like an all-time classic. You know what I mean? If it was made like a bit before the tech could kind of like make a movie that look, because it does have that annoying thing where it's like you see on people's laptop screen them playing the game and it's just like, no game looks like this.
Yeah.
But if that had have been like a 90s kind of version of that, it could have been like vibey as hell.
That might have been able to take out of it the sting of the thing that I mainly felt bad about while watching this movie, which was, and I think this is the point where we will go full spoilers.
Yeah, okay, I think it's clear that this is not a great movie and you can just probably decide for yourself if you want to watch it, really. But if you don't give a fuck, I think listen to this discussion. Yes. It's probably, I reckon it's a better movie to talk about than watch.
I love the one guy in our Discord who was like, I'm not enjoying this, but I'm going to push through for the boys. And honestly, that's the kind of fan base that you want to... People who will begrudgingly do whatever fucked thing you ask of them just for enjoyment of a podcast that's coming out once a week.
I mean, that's the situation I was in too, so it's only fair that...
But yeah, spoilers from now on, from exactly now.
So the thing that bothered me the most about it is how... The reason I use the word cynical is because of its place in a thing that I dislike, which is I'm struggling with how to say this, obviously, because I'm not just saying it. The monetization and commodification and unpleasant honing of this type of nerd culture that this game sits in that I really, really don't like, where it's turned into this thing that I don't identify with and that I feel almost insulted by. This movie going, hey, look, this is for you. This is what you like. This is what I think you are.
Right.
And then that thing is, oh, he's got Captain America's shield and the theme song plays. Ha ha, right? Ryan Reynolds is here. Detective Pikachu. It's Taika Waititi from your favorite movie ever. Thor Ragnarok. Like, it's that bit that made me at arm's length with this movie because it felt at the same time where it was trying to be like, look, this is like a celebration of what you are, you guys. And what I think you are is the people who are playing this game, which are in the movie, either 12-year-olds or fucking losers. And so the movie secretly thinks you're a piece of shit, but it tries to act like it's your friend.
Yeah, that's not something that I was disappointed by, though, because like that's how I feel about the MCU. They just disguise it better. Like, maybe. That's, you know, like there are things about this movie that are very tropey but done well. There are things that are interesting that are few and far between, And I think the performances are good, except for Taika Waititi, who I thought was terribly miscast.
I thought he was so bad.
Just bad, right? Like, just...
You can see... Yeah, I saw a few things of people going, like, why did he say yes to this? And you can see why he said yes to it. Like, on paper, right. You could look at this and go, oh, this will probably be a popular film. And he gets to, you know, he's used to having all this pressure and responsibility of directing these kinds of big movies. And with this, he gets to come in, dress like a cunt, say douchebaggy things. He's not in it all that much,
no,
really.
No,
like,
not really.
I reckon he would have had like a handful of days on set and gotten a good paycheck from it.
True.
And he's, you know, he seems like he's having fun. He gets to come in and chew the scenery. There's a bit, and this is like so indicative of a lot of the writing in this film, where he turns to someone and says, what you talking about, Willis?
Yeah,
it's like,
yes.
why would this guy say something? Why would this guy be quoting fucking Webster?
That like, one particular line really came across to me. It's like, oh, Tyker's on a roll. He's improvising. And it was like, that was what it ended up being. Because, yeah, the writing in this movie is the worst thing about it, for sure. The dialogue.
I think so, yeah. I think the dialogue is, but... Yeah, I don't know. I think that stuff that you saw in this movie, Knox, that you found to be cynical, which I totally agree with, like it is, and it is pandering, you know, and it's calculatedly pandering. I feel like that's everything in mainstream culture at the moment. I really do.
Yeah.
Like, and it has been for, you know, 20, 30 years. 20 is understating it.
But I think this one felt...
It's just more obvious.
Less sincere to me. It was more insincere than like the MCU is, where I really do think they're trying to make those fun. And this didn't even seem like they were trying to make it fun to me. It seemed like they were plugging it into like a structure that already exists. Because like it's kind of the Matrix. I also thought, just for what it's worth, that every other actor in this movie was bad too. Particularly the Stranger Things kid. I thought he was fucking terrible.
Oh, I thought he was great. I thought... This movie, halfway through, I was like, I hope this is just about Millie and whatever his name was.
Bobby Brown?
Keys.
I'm pretty sure.
yeah. at a certain point, because like I'm not a Ryan Reynolds fan, and he's just doing Deadpool without the suit in this, basically, you
and
know.
And he was right. Like friendly, like Flanders Deadpool.
Yeah, yes, exactly. He didn't rub me the wrong way necessarily, surprisingly. But he like didn't seem like the focus. Maybe because he is not a real person in the movie. I was just like, well, there's these two people here with a kind of interesting story. I liked how it portrayed the genuine cynicism of, you know, blockbuster video games development and all that stuff. I thought was like surprisingly done in a way that didn't turn me off.
I said that to my girlfriend. I was like, oh, the thing of him, like he's got the sequel coming out and he's just lied about what's going to be in it and, you know, all that kind of stuff of like the code being hidden in. That is kind of stuff that does happen in the real world. And that, you know, she's like, oh, that's kind of cool. Like I thought that was like an interesting and again, a relatively niche idea for a plot point. But I liked that whole thread.
I guess so. I think, I can't remember if it was like 2 or 3 years ago. There was one year where EA was the most hated company in America on a poll like, you know. So I guess it is fairly well known that this sort of thing happens, especially when the game that they have made up for the movie is like sort of a combination of Grand Theft Auto as the main one and then like a bit of Fortnite and very phone gamey, very monetized.
Right.
Very, you know, commercials everywhere when he's got the sunglasses on.
It weirdly feels like if Saints Row was Fortnite.
Right.
That's kind of the vibe. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good... But it is like that very... And it, not that it shouldn't be mainstream type of game that it is portraying. So it doesn't... Mm-hmm. It's not surprising to me that this game was portraying the things that it is in the way that it is. It didn't seem niche to me, personally.
Right. Go back to what you were saying, Ben, like I think... with it being pandering, which it is, but yeah, a lot of people just do like being pandered to. And I think like if you had have just seen the trailer for this and you weren't doing this podcast, like you could pick up what this was from the trailer and you wouldn't have gone in.
Yep.
But if you're someone that saw that trailer and thought, wow, that looks cool, I think you would enjoy this movie. If the trailer stuck out to you as looking interesting and fun,
I think that's
then
very
I think
fair.
You would have, if you wanted to go in on this from the marketing that you'd seen, then I think you would have had a great time with it. But none of us were in that boat, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. This was also written by the writer, at least the co-writer of Ready Player One, which again, if you watched the trailer and thought that was going to be cool, you probably did like that movie. And there's a lot of similarities with that and sort of the negative things with the new Space Jam of like jamming IP in there and sort of, pandering to the broadest base possible. Which never leads to, you know, the best stuff. It leads to the most broadly appealing stuff.
In terms of like just references though, I think that's the difference with this than like the MCU stuff, which is all references because that's what interconnected is. It's just referencing other stuff. It's like, hey, look, and now Ant-Man's here. And then like, oh, yeah, I know I've heard of him. But like the fact that the climax of this movie is literally them going, hey, look, Chris Evans.
I hated that.
Is everything that this, I felt like this movie was like just put into that moment where that's the climax. And like the very ending, because you're right. Maybe if I'd have been able to switch my brain off more, I would have enjoyed this more because I was paying attention and like making notes and shit to talk about it on here. So that definitely worked against the movie.
I don't think that I necessarily would even say I enjoyed this movie a great deal. Like if I'm ranking it or rating it, I should say, on a scale of like blockbuster entertainment, and that incorporates, you know, superhero movies, the fucking Transformer movies being some of the worst examples, you know, that sort of realm. This is at best a 3 out of 5 on that scale. You know, 5 is not Schindler's List. 5 is like The Dark Knight, I guess. And 1 is Catwoman. I don't think that I loved it, but I didn't hate it either. And I think the stuff that you found to be so off-putting, Knox, like, yeah, cutting to Chris Evans and showing the Captain America shield and having him do a Hulk punch.
And then a lightsaber straight away afterwards. Right. And the music playing and yeah.
It's like, that's how I view the MCU and the Disney Star Wars movies. I have the exact same reaction that you had to those when it's done in the MCU because it's like, well, yeah, most of the time I'm in the same position as you of like, I'm not really enjoying this movie. So when I see these like bald-faced pandering crossovers, I'm just like, yeah, cool, you're going to get a bunch of people into another movie and another movie after that. So,
I mean, I guess a threshold's different or something, but for me, like, when the Hulk is in an MCU movie, I'm like, yeah, that's where the Hulk lives. Of course he's there.
But also, going into this, I was like, oh, it's a movie set in a admittedly fictional video game, but they know that gamers are going to go and see this. So you're probably going to have a fucking reference to Sonic, or you're going to, you know, have a fat plumber called Mario, or, you know. I went in thinking there'd be some kind of...
If this movie had been made in the mid-90s, maybe. But
yes. Yeah.
Well, you know, whatever. I assumed there would be...
This granddad's free game.
There was way more stuff in of that nature that I just didn't even pick up. Like, I knew going in that all those, like, Twitch streamers and YouTubers that are in the film are actual... Twitch streamers and YouTubers, but I don't engage with any of that stuff, so none of that stuff.
Do you want to know how much they get paid?
Yeah, what do they all earn for this movie?
Yeah, from the I didn't have a problem with the video game stuff. I liked the cutaways went to real life when it was like, you know, the teenage girls, and like I don't think I laughed once, but again, like. On the scale I'm grading it on, like, yeah, cutting to real life, the dumb loser guy with his mom who's voiced by Tina Fey for some reason.
Tina Fey, yeah.
The Channing Tatum being his avatar, I liked.
He was good. That guy can dance.
Can't he? Fucking
hell. You see
that
weird backflip thing he did?
Oh, yeah.
He just pulled it off like he was... Didn't funny. Have any mass.
Funny, too. He's a funny fucking guy. So, like, I think... I was surprised at how much I didn't dislike the video game stuff. Even Ryan Reynolds, like I said before, it wasn't off-putting, wasn't too grating to me, and I usually do find him a bit annoying. What I didn't like about it was how incredibly predictable it was. And I think, yeah, it's like you were saying before, Knox, like it's The Matrix, it's The Truman Show, a couple other movies as well, just for like her... It has the romance stuff was very her-ish, where it bounced back and forth of like he's in love with her just because he's watched her essentially play a video game, which is like, you know, a weird Twitch streamer parasocial relationship. And then she only likes him because and we're in spoilers, she programmed him, I thought, but then it was like, no, actually the guy programmed. So it was like, it's kind of this creepy back and forth of like,
yeah,
there's no real reason for them to actually like each other.
No, yeah, that bit didn't really work. The romance as the driving point of at least the first sort of half of the movie,
it does
get sort of explained later as like, oh, well, the Ryan Reynolds NPC was in love with her because he was programmed by someone who was in love with her and he created this AI to learn from his stuff. So sort of, but then that story between those two wasn't developed during the movie.
No.
So it didn't turn it into this like, oh, sweet thing. It was like, okay, well, he said that they were just friends and she said it. There was no spark between like,
yeah.
Yeah.
And
totally.
Then that the very last bit of the movie where he asks her if she wants to go get coffee and she says, no, I'm going back in the game. She figures out the thing. Ryan Reynolds tells her, I'm in love with you because I was programmed by that guy. She tracks him down outside. She goes, what's his fucking name again? Billy, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And he turns around and he sees her, goes, what? Fuck do you want? What? Why could you possibly be here?
Yeah.
What? I'm so confused to see you 11 steps outside of our building. That made me laugh so much the way he...
It's taken him a long time to get to that coffee shop when she was able to get there immediately after being in the game for like 20 minutes or something.
Yeah,
like,
it's a full monologue.
Half an hour. If someone you know and you were just at work with decided they wanted coffee for you to go... What the fuck are you here for? What's
and then, and then to immediately realize, oh, it's because you're actually in love with me like I am with you.
And it was like they did that bit of wordless communication for them to try and justify that they did have a bond because the movie even knew that it hadn't created it by that point.
They reference it twice, two lines previously.
Yeah.
It's definitely not the there.
I think my favorite bit was Taika Waititi's character, his company... has stolen this prototype from those two characters,
Indy
from
Darling.
Millie and Keys. Mm. Yeah. And he works out that Millie is in the game running around trying to find the source code. And then meanwhile, someone is hacking into the game in order to help her while Taika Waititi is trying to thwart her. Mm. And so Waititi's running around going, who could be doing this? Who's hacking the game trying to help her without even giving a second's thought to the fact that it's probably her ex-partner that now works for you?
No, but Tommy,
it's almost like it never crosses his mind.
But the movie explains it because he was hiding behind a pillar in the same office. Yeah, there's a lot of just in terms of because like the main writer is the guy who also wrote the Addams Family animated movie a couple years ago.
Yep.
Scoob. Like poorly received animated children's films with poor reception. Because weirdly, I didn't know that Addams Family movie had come out. I think a sequel is coming out. So for whatever reason, I was reading reviews of that movie like 3 days ago. By complete chance. And people were saying that it was poorly written comedy-wise.
Right.
And same deal here.
Yes.
There are some of the worst jokes I've ever seen in a movie in this. The bit where he... tries to jump for a wrecking ball and it plays a little second of wrecking ball and then it
terrible.
Goes nope because he can't reach it.
Yep.
I will that say yes. I overall don't hate this movie. Hated every single needle drop, every song in the movie. Mm-hmm. And I did hate the overt references. I liked the video game world that it creates and the, like I said before, the sort of corporate stuff, but the literal references and the music made me want to walk out of the room.
The Ryan Reynolds
the Mariah Carey song that is
the Ryan Reynolds isms where he's like, this ice cream sounds like, it tastes like, hold on, I wrote it down.
Yeah.
It tastes like my tongue had a baby with a sunrise. That sort of shit.
I fucking hate
that. And sure, that's taste, but it tastes like my tongue had a baby with a pile of fucking shit. And I did it
the
that
Mariah
way
Carey
in, an,
song.
In a satirical way. So don't point out that it's the same joke, because it isn't. And you're pointing out your own ignorance.
The Mariah Carey song that is used frequently in the movie and seems to be like in the game, like in the actual game itself in this world. So it's like, what is this video game that just seems to have like one licensed Mariah Carey song
in
it?
I took it as she was listening to it on Spotify as she walked past and you could hear it. but that's good. It didn't indicate that. It's just what I thought it was.
Right, but he already... Anyway, the fact that it's used frequently throughout the film is like, what is this intersection of people that they thought exists that are keen to go see a video game movie and then just like fanging for this Mariah Carey of all the like songs?
I had no idea it was a Mariah Carey song until you just said it, and then it makes the line of him saying like, and you're always listening to this one Mariah Carey song.
Yeah,
those are the things that he knows about her: is her coffee order, her favorite song, and I think that's it.
Yeah,
and bubblegum really ice like- cream.
Bubblegum ice
the
cream,
slow
right.
emotional version of it that plays near the end, I thought was just a very funny, like, I don't know, we're all attached to this song, so here comes
my favorite thing about this movie is definitely like there's some production elements that are really good, like it manages to get a lot of the background bustling action that it needs to make this place free city seem like a online crazy Grand Theft Auto type game. It does that well. It's got people jumping in the background like they're video game characters, and crazy car chases and people on fire and whatever. Like all of those bits, especially there's a couple of like longer shots that have that stuff going on. I thought that was well done.
Yes.
Yeah.
Kind of
reminded
me of Ratchet and Clank, the level of depth of like detail and things flying around and shit.
Sure. Yeah, that stuff was cool.
I did. Yeah. The presentation was, it was good. I agree with that. I didn't like, there were some things that just didn't make sense outside of your suspension of disbelief. Like, why does he start the day over and over again? Like,
I guess he just respawns there. That's just like, it does follow that weird, similar to the Matrix. Something I never was able to wrap my head around that is like, okay, I get that it's a physical world being simulated inside of a computer, but then all the people who have control over the computer can still only affect it in like physical world ways, like towards the end when they start trying to bring buildings closer together to crush a car.
Yeah.
It doesn't, to me, it's like, oh, well, why don't you just delete the thing that is the car? Like,
Yeah. The bridge and stuff, it's like, just delete it. Just take it out. But I think they just wanted to have a Groundhog Day sequence with him because he dies and he respawns. But then if he lives out a full day and goes to bed, it seems like he wakes up and every day is the same day again. But maybe that's the same for everyone. Maybe that's just some weird thing about
the game. I think it's always daytime or something as well. Maybe there was nighttime actually. No, there is nighttime. Never mind.
Oh, yeah, when they go and spy around. But yeah, I don't know. There were some things about where it's like, I think this was done more for the sequence you had in mind than, it actually making sense.
The whole logic of him just being able to steal the glasses and then be an active player where it's like, well, has no NPC ever tried to do this ever before? And the whole thing of, so Ryan Reynolds is able to do this because he has kind of this AI program in him that was stolen by Taika Waititi from the character of the characters of Millie and Keyes and absorbed into this game. But why? Like, why did he put this AI thing? Like, it's added nothing to the game of Free City. It has absolutely no practical application within this Grand Theft Auto game. So it's like, it sort of doesn't make sense why he would have put the code in there, because we see no practical application of it inside the game whatsoever.
I think the thing is that they built Free City, like a small version of it, and part of it was the AI thing that they were passionate about and didn't get used. Like, so I think they like create the kernel of the idea of Free City. He buys that and uses that and is like, I don't need a self-learning AI. I'll just leave it alone.
I think they say that he took more than... Because at the start, Stranger Things is like, oh, we sold it to him, so what are you mad about? And she's like, we didn't sell this bit to him, and he's used that bit for this other thing. Like,
I also like loved the first time we see Stranger Things guy's apartment. One of the first things that we see is camera pans along as he's walking in, and very deliberately placed on like a bench near his door, there's a big light up lamp of one of the ghosts from Pac-Man. As if to tell us,
this cunt loves
video games. It's like, even the most gaming obsessed person that you know in real life would never be drawn to a lamp of a ghost from Pac-Man.
Chuck an episode of Filthy Casuals on his iPod.
Yes.
All the kids are using iPods. There's one other thing, or maybe a few other things, but just something I remembered. So, free guy, two things with him. One, I don't know why it's on global news that this NPC or this character is running around in this game. That's a crazy sequence.
No one's playing it. That's like, insane. No one is playing it.
It's really
weird. It's on the screens in the streets in Japan of people just like watching the CPU play a game against itself. My girlfriend very earnestly asked me, would this ever really happen? No,
but it's not crazy because the movie portrays it like it was a matter of course. Like, the streamers would maybe talk about it, sure. Pokimane has something to say about it. Mm-hmm. Probably not, though. Probably talking about Twitch and how they published her earnings.
Yes.
Anyway, I mean, that is very Truman Show, that end bit. But in the reality of the world in the Truman Show, it's like we see that it's like the highest rated TV show.
Exactly.
Like, everyone loves
That's
it. So,
true.
Like, he's breaking out. So, everyone in the world would be watching that at in 1997. When
it's
that film
like
was made.
When the finale of Seinfeld or whatever was on, people were like, hey, last Seinfeld tonight. And everyone's like,
shit. But then I assume this, we're in like the slight future, right? Because the game, it seems like you can do anything in the game. Like, you can do literally anything. That it's like voice controlled to an extent.
It's something, you know,
the accent
NPCs are alive.
Like, the accent filter that she has.
Yeah.
It is like the fact that it's something you've got to ignore about video game movies and things like that. But it makes no sense how this game works because everyone's just playing it on a laptop and it seems to be in a browser. So it's just a browser game that also
photorealistic.
Like, when he takes the gun off of someone, they're confused and speaking to him, and like
it's very weird.
Yeah, I also like in this company Tsunami that makes the game. Is that now? Is that a reference to Konami?
To
anyway,
Tsunami. Oh,
I like that in this company that makes the game, everyone that works there just seems to have absolutely unfiltered access to the code to be able to get in there and do whatever they want, whenever they want. Like, doesn't he mention that he works in the complaints department at one point?
And he's able
to get in and just, like, build bridges and kick people out.
Yeah, it's like quality assurance or something. It seems to be a very nice office for him.
God,
Also, so, free guy, Ryan Reynolds.
Oh, yes, yeah.
Has this friend who, like, I mean, I get that the game just sort of makes them friends and everything's arbitrary and they just do their lives, but he doesn't seem to have any sort of rapport with this man. They don't really seem to get along. Like, they just kind of do the and then there's this really weird, sorrowful goodbye to him right at the end that was just another bit of the movie where it's like, which draft did this accidentally not get deleted from? Like,
well, it's,
I didn't mind all that stuff because I like that actor. He's funny. He's in Out. He's in the Eric Andre in Bad Trip.
He's
a funny guy.
It's weird because it's like they're written as bad video game characters. So it's like, there isn't a lot of depth to that friendship. And like, I definitely felt the same way. Maybe it's what it's like. That's how I feel about every storyline in the movie is like, I don't know what the stakes are here because half of these people aren't real.
Yeah.
You know? And and it's like, and of course, half of their storylines play out as an absolute exact trope. You know, you go to TV Tropes and you're like, this is how this storyline plays out every single time. And that's how it plays out in this movie. And it's like done with good performers. Like, I like Jodie Comer. I've never seen her in anything before, but I thought she was great. Like, had a lot of charisma and was like the heart.
Yeah.
But
the attempt at having like an almost like Disney kind of like moral of like, what if there's more out there? We don't have to just live our lives the way we've been taught. It's like, this is just a really strange. It's like, who is this movie for? This is this kind of message and like on the nose way of delivering it that you'd put in a movie for 11-year-olds.
Yes.
Like,
there's a message that's in this and that like this is pointless to compare it to, but the recent Cinderella adaptation on Amazon Prime, where the moral of the story is like that under capitalism, I should be willing to have no money to pursue my to have integrity and to have my art respected. It's either ignore the big business completely and have zero. It's not like, oh, this big company should be paying them. Correct. And like, Taika Waititi doesn't get his downfall. They just abandon him. You know what I mean?
That's right.
It's kind of implied that it goes poorly for him. But also at the end, she's like, yeah, you do the second one. It's all good. I'm just going to fuck off out of here. Like, I don't know.
It is very weird that yeah, the moral is not they should be paid what they're owed. Although they do sue them, so I don't know how it goes exactly. But like,
for as simple as the rest of this movie is, Taika Waititi should be in handcuffs by the end of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And those
bits
sort of not happen. It's an over analytical point.
but yeah, no, it's such a weird fucking movie because it feels like you said, it feels like a children's Disney film with a moral for that 8 to 13-year-olds can get and appreciate. But it swears constantly. There's violence.
Yeah.
There's these complicated layers of corporate espionage. Like, who is it for? It's not for us.
Honestly, if I had read that this was a live-action remake like Disney have been doing of Wreck-It Ralph, I would have been like, oh, that makes sense. Because like halfway through I was thinking, this could have been a lot kind of better, and all those kind of clunky sort of aesthetic things that I don't really like about it would have been better in an animated film. And then I remembered like, oh yeah, Wreck-It Ralph did that great, where it's like it makes up its own fake versions of video games, but the design of them is so believable that if you engage with a lot of video games, it's like, yeah, the little game that he's from in that, it's like, oh yeah, that looks like a believable, he looks like a design character, a character design from that era. Whereas this game, it's like, no game that comes out now looks like this. Like, movie, it's trying to be this mishmash of everything, but it's, yeah.
That movie has the same thing. It's got Pac-Man and, like, it's got Street Fighter characters, and it's got all those sorts of references and makes jokes out of them, but the jokes end up being all right. So it isn't grating in the same way. I think I should point out as well, I was off this movie for the first time. I think the second half is better than the first half of this movie and justifies some of the stuff I didn't like about the first half, because the first half of this movie is a story about a guy who gets so horny that he gets superpowers, basically. And I really didn't like that movie.
You're right. That's the other thing. I was off this movie completely at half an hour in. I was like, this sucks. I want to turn it off.
He's being chased by a cop and a rabbit. It's a bit like...
And he's throwing out the quips nonstop. It's all about him. That's, I think, the other problem with it is that his character is not interesting and he's doing a style of comedy that I don't like.
And the second half, he's not really in all that much. That's the thing I found funny. For being a Ryan Reynolds starring vehicle, when it pulls out and it's about the developers and like a lot of that stuff is clunkily written, but I thought that was like, this interesting thread.
Ryan
this interesting
Reynolds
kind
is
of like corporate,
as the other character he plays in this, the buff dude guy in
Yes. Good for him if he was like, I'm fine to just step back and the middle of the movie be about real people. I think I got a lot, more engaged with it as it went on and started maybe, having a more positive attitude to some of the jokes and stuff as it went on, because I was not hating the movie overall so much as well.
Yeah.
I have to say, you guys singled it out as absolutely hating it, but the Chris Evans bit, it honestly did get me. Like, I hated that little run of the lightsaber coming out and the portal gun and all that kind of shit. But if you're going to do that, and then this whole concept being everyone in the world is watching this at the same time.
Yeah.
It's like, the guy that plays that character would be watching it and going, what the fuck? Yeah. Like, I don't know. That did surprise me, and I kind of hated myself for having a little geek. But,
that there's now like a property right, intellectual property contract dispute thing involving Chris Evans and the Taika Waititi character and all of that.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that bit's not the worst, but it's like, just having those stings be there for a kind of empty... Like, the lightsaber one is worse because everyone's just like, is that a lightsaber? And they're like, it is a lightsaber.
And it's like, there are Star Wars video games, but it's not a video game. Which is also the problem with the Captain America thing, but it's like the portal gun and stuff coming out. Right. It's like, okay, that's kind of cool. And the Fortnite axe, like, they're all kind of in the world. It's like,
we found it funny that Rick from Rick and Morty was in Fortnite in real life.
Right.
And so it's not that I'm against that concept ever being funny. It's that this movie does a lot of the stuff it's trying to do badly.
Definitely does. Yeah.
Because that's like, I know you have more of an aversion to like this stuff that seems like pandering to you and that sort of like modern, watered down mass media nerd culture exploitation stuff, but I don't get
a lot of words, Nox.
But do they not represent it? Do they not have a meaning? But like that stuff, I don't mind it when it's in the thing that it is from.
Right.
Like I like the Marvel movies and I'm able to have them be the thing where I just go with it and I enjoy them because I just think they're also I think they're better written than this.
Yeah.
As
yeah,
well
yeah.
And they're better That's made true. And all of that. Like I think it definitely is something where this was just over some line that exists in my head where
the quality was low enough that the pandering got to you.
I was streaming it in HD, so that weren't even the problem.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, it got whatever it was. I just didn't enjoy a second of this movie. And I highly recommend we not watch it. But I also do think that it is interesting to talk about. And I hope everyone at 1 hour and 15 minutes agrees.
I'm going to stand by what I said earlier. If you've checked out the trailer, if you've seen the marketing, and if it appeals to you, I think you will enjoy it because it's certainly not as bad as I was expecting. It's
to emphasize as well, if you enjoy it, that doesn't mean you're wrong. I whenever we give our opinions on stuff like this, I feel like people sometimes get annoyed about it. But if I don't like something or one of us doesn't like something, that they like, I might be wrong. I'm not, and I never have been, and I never will be. But no, you know, like it everyone should like what they like. That is goes without saying forever from here on out.
Yeah, I think if you're still in lockdown, it's a good one to chuck on. If you're going to watch it with like a housemate or whatever, have a couple of beers. There is a lot of stupid shit to be able to laugh at and talk over the top at, and you know, kind of have a pretty like half invested watch. And yeah, if you've got Disney Plus, it's on there. It's you know. If you've burnt through a lot of prestige stuff, and you still got a little bit of lockdown left, and you have this service, why not?
Let me say one more thing that I forgot.
Millie. Weirdly, I feel like I forgot a heap of stuff I wanted to talk about. Like this is a surprisingly deep movie.
If you'd have watched it this morning, it'd be fresh in your head.
I don't know. No, we've done TV podcasts, Knox, where I've forgotten the entire episode after having literally watched it before we hit record.
There's a bit earlier on in the movie where like Millie, when she's in the game as Molotov something,
Molotov Babe, I think.
Maybe, yeah. Like she's fighting with someone. It might be Hugh Jackman in the alleyway. And she's right. Someone goes like, oh, maybe we could have like a coffee after this or something. Like, you're pretty cool. Like the other player says that. She's like, I don't need to see what your mum's basement looks like. Something like that. And that was very early in the movie. And I got annoyed then because I was like, you're playing the same game.
Yes.
I ain't something here about your mum's basement. You're playing this game too. And I know you're playing it for legal thing, but you're worse because you make games. That's the lamest you can be.
And that is such a tropey kind of like idea for a character in a movie that is made for people that subscribe to that kind of. Yeah, you're right. That is a little like strange. One thing I want to point out in terms of like the low quality of the writing, this stuck out to me as a thing that's I reckon is about to overtake or at the very least run parallel to one of our favorites, So That Just Happened, and you know, those kinds of lines of dialogue that are in every Marvel movie and We Got This and all that stuff, is the that's not a word. Ooh, you know that one where it's like Taika comes in and he says something like, oh, this is going to be hugeumbulous or whatever.
Right.
And the character on the other end will go, that's not a word. And it always annoys me. It always annoys me because it's like the character who said that, they know that. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it always really irks me as like what's thought of as like a snappy comeback by the writers.
If someone is trying to say the word vehicle and they say vehicle, then you can say, you've mispronounced that word. I think you mean vehicle.
And even then, why be pedantic? It's like, you know what they meant. You got it.
Do you know
like
what?
He's trying to say it's going to be the biggest thing possible.
Yeah.
Humunga jumbulus. It's like, you get it. Yeah. You get what he's going
you
for.
You never heard of Tim mention? The English language is crazy. You can make But I definitely agree with that.
I think my Ben's final thought is that I cannot
be kind to each other.
I cannot in good faith recommend this to an adult. I think it's just too predictable and formulaic and not funny enough. You know, like, this is not a movie you get high and watch, you know, on a Saturday evening. Like, it's just not funny enough. The jokes aren't there. But if you have a kid and you don't mind them hearing swear words, pop it on. I think it would be a very fun movie for a kid to watch, especially if they're like Fortnite or something like that.
Maybe. I believe the children are our future, so I think you should show them Citizen Kane.
I also think that.
Next week, let's come back and review Citizen Kane as a video game movie. Let's see how good of a job it does. That should be our new thing. We pick a random movie and we look at it and go, how accurately does this, in spite of, you know, it's not about video games or whatever.
Right, but yeah.
I guess if you wanted to view it as a video game.
Like a video game of the old days, it's a thing you can play.
Sure.
Newspapers or like Twitter.
Yeah. Popularity contests is, you know, there's sort of, there's goals and
black
things
and
to.
White, man.
Okay.
I've seen Citizen Game.
Secret password. But yeah, I don't know. This felt like a well-made kids movie to me with several really strange elements that make it not a kids movie. It's
ridiculous.
It's so
that the longest episode we have recorded in a while is because we
Heaps
were giving a more in-depth review of Free Guy than we generally give of a lot of games.
Yeah. Well, you can finish a movie in 2 hours. That's right.
Exactly.
Tommy only watched
Let's
the
wrap
first
it up.
30 minutes of this movie.
Hey.
That's so true.
All right, let's wrap it up. Thanks for listening. Filthycasuals.com.au. Grab a ticket to the live show on October 17.
Oh, yes.
We're really looking forward to that. Check out the YouTube videos. We put up two a week, earlier in the week and then later in the week. You can get on the Patreon, get a bonus episode every week where we've been going through, at the moment we've been doing the 2000s, early 2000s, mm-hmm. doing the cultural kind of stuff that isn't video games from each year.
Yeah, we're about to finish that. 09.
Oh, yeah.
Coming up.
Next Monday.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you're on the relevant tier there, you should get soon a new episode of the Premium Bandcamp podcasts we do.
Yes.
I remember a long time ago in a galaxy far away, we mentioned...
First teased that we were going to do this.
Yeah, before we didn't realize we wouldn't be in a room together for a very long time.
Yeah.
Now, just biting the bullet and doing it over Zoom. Yeah. That'll be
That'll be up there soon, like, and then that'll be available on the and yeah, there's heaps of stuff on the Bandcamp as well that you can get longer form premium episodes about franchises and companies, game companies and stuff like that. But yes, we will see you next week. Big week next week, actually. We got
Far Cry 6,
we got Metroid.
Oh, and, yes.
And we got a little something to announce as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There's a show going on beyond the live show.
Yeah.
It's all happening.
We should
it's all happening,
it down.
Folks. All right. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time. And as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals,
I'm actually Free Guy, which means only eat guys that have already been thrown out. There you go. That movie didn't have any jokes.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.